Besser. Besser, the delivery right by Adams. Rebound! It's Bjorgolsson! And Vermont Green up two! Bella clangs a body. Kobe over the goalie, and Vermont Green in front again. Ryan Kobe. Salvez. O'Neal the turn. Mark O'Neal. Ridiculous stuff. Oh, baby. Mark O'Neal. That was a delight. Finds a way to get it to Lilly, who gets it to Nwegbo. He puts it on target. Oh, Diba Nwegbo did it from the sideline. Diba Nwegbo highlight reel, and we've got our first.
Hey, this is United in Green. First night for our first episode of our Vermont Green podcast. Vermont Green is a USL 2 team. Which is a pre-professional league. And tonight, we have myself, Mike Popovich. I'm originally from Vermont. I've lived here almost my entire life. I have another podcast that I do. I found the Vermont Green, a couple of years ago when they announced that there was going to be a club. Kind of thought it was a little bit of a joke, you know, given our success with professional leagues, teams in the state. But this is our pilot episode of this podcast. With me tonight is my good friend Will, part of our supporters group. How you doing, Will?
I'm good, Mike, and you?
I'm not terrible. Had a good day. I've had a pretty good week. Not bad. My professional team is actually back in its winning ways, hopefully. So we'll just stop it there since we know all our allegiances. How you doing though?
Good. Well, you know, it's only Tuesday, so hopefully the week hasn't been too bad. You know, I will agree with you that as far as, you know, professional sports watching, you know, Premier League, you know, feeling pretty good about that right now. But we're not here to talk about the Prem. You know, we're here to talk about our new club, the Vermont Green. And yeah, I'll give a little introduction. You know, kind of bounced all over the East Coast in, you know, the last couple of years, lived in Vermont for about 4 years now. And to be honest with you, I didn't know that the Vermont Green were really a thing until about 2 weeks before the first game of the season. So, you know, didn't have that anticipation period, but I'll tell you, it's been, you know, a lot of fun, you know, going to those games last summer. And I'll tell you, really looking forward to, you know, this upcoming season this summer. And we got a lot of fun things in store in the build-up. And, you know, I'm hoping that the attendance that we had last year carries over because, you know, by the end of the season, those crowds were electric. And I think that, you know, there's a lot to build on.
Awesome. Awesome. Today, a special guest that we have with us, our benefactor, our group leader, our spirit coordinator, if you will, Tyler. How you doing, Tyler?
I'm doing great, guys. It's nice to be here.
Awesome. How's your week, Ben? You've been good? I haven't actually seen you in a while, but
it has been
since that SUVM game.
It's been a long time. I had a great week. It's honestly nice to see snow on the ground here in Vermont. I feel like we've been in such a weird warm winter that seeing snow on the ground, seeing snow ahead for the next couple of weeks has made me super happy. It feels like a normal season, and we got out, did some skiing and walking around, and it's been a good week.
Awesome. Awesome. Do you guys want to talk about the football?
Let's do it.
All right.
Sure.
All right. So, this is a podcast. We're based in Vermont again. Like I said, it's our Vermont Green are a USL 2 team. They were born out of kind of the dorms of Vermont, UVM. It was just born out of an idea of some college buddies who wanted to build a club that was focused on social justice and climate justice. And, you know, that kind of personifies what Vermont is kind of all about. Vermont politically is we're a pretty active state. We're kind of a strange state in that, you know, we still have that independent spirit, Vermonters tend to vote with their hearts. But we have that, like I said, that independent spirit. We tend to be on kind of that side where we want to take care of the land that we live in, that we grew up in, and we want to keep it that way. That's not to say that we don't want to grow in Vermont, but it is to say that we want to keep our lakes and our rivers, and we want to keep our agriculture in the forefront. And to do that, you know, we gotta really make sure that we take care of the land that we were given. We were kind of blessed with this land, and you know, over lifetimes and generations, this world, and especially in the United States, has actually seen unprecedented warming. You know, warming of the earth because of the things that we've been doing to it. And so the focus of the Vermont Green, I guess, was to bring to light kind of some of the struggles that we have with keeping our landscape, in fact, green. Tyler, do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I got into, I was became aware of Vermont Green through like their early website that didn't have a logo, just sort of was like, hey, we're Vermont Green, we're going to be a USL2 team. Here's what we're building the club around, you know, social justice issues, environmental issues, issues of general equality and equity. And I was like, well, this all sounds very interesting. And, you know, for me, it was an intersection of a bunch of things that I really love, you know, Vermont, the state and the people and the sort of culture, soccer, football, and then all these sort of social issues. And I was like, all right, this has potential, but there wasn't a whole lot of information beyond that. And then as time went on, they dropped the logo, and I think it was before they dropped the logo, actually, I shot an email to sort of like the general, like info@vermontgreen.com, and said, hey, I'm a local graphic designer, really excited about what you guys might be doing. You know, it was all sort of still very much like behind the curtain at that point. If you need help with design stuff, give a shout. And I got back a really nice email from Matt Wolf, one of the co-founders, who is, if you don't know his work, is a absolutely world-class, phenomenal graphic designer. He's done logos for MLS teams. He's done kit designs for international teams. He's just insanely talented. And I got back like the nicest email from him saying, hey, we'd love some help with match day posters, and would you be interested in doing that? And I wrote back as fast as I'd written back to any email that I've ever gotten. And he's like, yes, please come in. That was my introduction to them. And I think for a lot of folks who aren't into football, I think the environmental and social issues that you talked about were sort of like gateway elements that got them into Vermont Green. And these are people who I think maybe would not have gotten into a sports team, let alone a soccer team, in many other ways. And this, I think that's just sort of, you know, it's a real testament to the club that they had the forethought to like think about these things and build it into like the very like DNA of the club, for just generally good reasons, but also, you know, thinking about the sort of people who go to Vermont Green games and who are into them from around the world. I think those environmental and social issues are a huge part of their appeal for a lot of folks.
Yeah, I find that like no matter where you kind of sit politically, the thing that can bring everybody together, especially in this state, is like we have that love for sport in this state that allows, especially up in this area, in the Burlington area, that allows a small team to kind of to exist within this small little tiny area that we have. We have for the longest time had a minor league baseball team, and you know, through COVID, MLB kind of contracted, so that kind of left the Lake Monsters hanging out there, and people were like, you know, felt that like that's kind of shitty, that's a shitty thing to do. But MLB being, you know, the giant that it is in sports, you know, was, they didn't really give a shit about us, you know, here in Vermont. So when the green came along again, like I said, I thought it was a little bit of a joke, and I just saw, like you saw, like the logo, that it wasn't even a logo, it just said Vermont Green coming soon. And I was like, that's, yeah, I thought it was kind of a joke a little bit. And then, like you said, things kind of just started to develop and snowball a little bit at a time. And I was like, holy crap, look at this. This is actually happening. Because I didn't think it was going to happen. We had, you know, two different arena football teams come and go. And like, you know, there's always been the idea that something can survive here, but I didn't think that it was going to be able to survive the way it did. And when you put out the thing for, you know, the supporters group on Twitter, I was like, I'll check this out. I'm all in. Let's look at this. I'm a kind of a noob soccer fan, you know, within the last, you know, 12 years. So that kind of drew me in. I was like, I need something new. And yeah. I liked it, and I love, obsessed with soccer. So I might as well, you know, follow this and see what happens. I also love making new friends, you know. So yeah. a supporters group is great. So it brings kind of a sense of community. And that's where I met my good friend Will here. He was wearing the wrong jersey when I met him, but that's okay. We won't talk about that. We can talk about that another time. How did you come to find Vermont Green?
Yeah, it's sort of a word of mouth, you know, scenario. Some other friends had saw it on social media, and, you know, I don't really pass down an opportunity to go to sports games. You know, I love going to Lake Monsters, and so I figured to check this out. And I think, you know, really the most, you know, valuable thing I took away from it last summer was this, you know, new sense of community. You know, we're all, you know, on this call are major soccer fans, football fans, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I'm not necessarily sure we've ever gotten to experience that collective home crowd energy before for soccer on such a consistent basis, you know, over those couple of weeks. You know, we all follow separate teams, and I'm sure we all listen to our, you know, respective podcasts and, you know, follow our Twitter feeds and all that, and, you know, consume that news. But to actually be able to go to the games, you know, to, you know, get there early, to hang out with people, talk about the players, you know, experience that match day feeling, you know, I think is, you know, it's a special thing that we've been able to develop rather quickly. And, you know, I think the driving force in that was, you know, and the reason we have a guest here today to talk about is in the Green Mountain Boys. So, you know, Tyler, why don't you sort of tell us about, you know, that and how that came to be?
Yeah, I mean, that I'm also, I mean, I'm a longtime soccer fan. I grew up playing before it was like the sport that it is in the US and back in the late 80s, early 90s. And then I lived in England for a year when I was 10 and got super into soccer. Became a Liverpool fan. And when I came back, that's all I wanted to do was play soccer. And after the 94 World Cup, it was just like, I could start to see that it was taking root. And so I've been a soccer fan for a long time, but I've had, prior to this past year, zero experience with like a true local team, being part of like a supporters group, any of that sort of stuff. And so after I started doing some design work or doing some preliminary design work for Vermont Green, I was texting with Pat, one of the other co-founders, Patrick Inferna, and a really nice guy. And as a joke, he's a big Celtic fan. I was like, hey, it'd be funny if we had like a supporters group called the Green Mountain Boys with an H, because, you know, boys from the Celtic supporters. And he's like, oh yeah, that's pretty funny. That'd be funny. That's a good joke, Tyler. And that sort of percolated in the back of my head for a couple of weeks. And I was like, yeah, you should definitely do the joke thing into a real thing. So I just started like a Twitter account, an Instagram account. It was an excuse to post, you know, stupid mashups of soccer culture and punk stuff and hip hop stuff and just graphic design work. It's just, you know, I'm a sucker for side projects. So I started doing that, and the response was really good. And, at some point I was like, I feel like there's like might be a genuine interest in this. And so, like Mike said, I threw out that sort of initial post. I was like, hey, if you actually want to hang out and do this thing, let's do this in real life and in person. And, it all kind of snowballed from there. And, you know, going back to what Mike said, I mean, I think having a local club is new for pretty much everybody here, like a local club that's disorganized and this put together and exciting. And I think it was like this amazing confluence of that rolling it, like that happening, kind of rolling into springtime, summer, COVID sort of leveling off, dropping off, and people feeling the need to get out and do things in a, you know, outdoor safe environment. People feeling the need to be social and to like make new friends. And that certainly was a driving factor for me. Like I work from home, I work remotely. So making new friends is not like a super easy thing. And this was just like an amazing way to meet lots of really interesting people who were all connected through something that seems, you know, in the grand scheme of things, like not a big deal. It's like a sport, but like, man, like I've made more good friends in the past 6 months, you know, 12 months from Vermont Green than I ever thought was would be possible. So I think the club did an amazing job getting things going, but I think, you know, there's just also the timing was really, really fortunate that we all kind of got together and I was like, yeah, let's get together every Saturday or Sunday and have some drinks in the parking lot and have like an amazing time at the game and just have this like super positive experience. And I mean, for me, it was like a throwback to being in a band where you're just like, we're just going to put on a show. And if people show up, great. And I hope people have a good time. And you just meet all sorts of amazing people just by like encouraging that sort of get together, whether it's before or during. And yeah, I mean, how was it for you guys? I mean, this was like my first experience with a supporters group. Like what was this first summer like for you?
I'll let Will go first.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, it was a surprise, you know, at first, you know, we were just a bunch of people that did not know each other. And so, you know, the first couple, you know, weeks we were getting the hang of each other, but by the end of the season, you know, it was a regular old group of pals, you know, and, you know, from everywhere around, you know, Chittenden County and beyond, you know, there's people coming from, oh yeah, I know we have people that regularly came from New York to attend the games as well. And so, you know, it just felt like a group that really coalesced by the end of the season. And, you know, and to go off that point as well, not to shift too quickly here, but I mean, I want to open this up to Mike, because you mentioned this earlier. Are you surprised at sort of the level of organization and, you know, real quality that the ownership was able to sort of put together, you know, by the, you know, second week they were serving alcohol, you know, at the games. And that's not something that you'd expect from a USL2 team at its second ever game, that they would have the permits. And, you know, they also had full, you know, food, you know, they were able to offer hot concessions, you know, meals. We're not just talking about chips and dip, you know, where they had burgers and hot dogs. And I mean, I guess my question to you is, you know, how was your reaction to that?
You know, initially, well, what's funny is that like, I missed that first, I missed the opening home game. So my son plays for a local club for our post. And we were away at a tournament on that very opening like day. So I didn't actually get to experience like our first meetup, our first game day meetup. And so when I actually went to my first game, my first home game, I think Tyler will tell you that I think I pestered the shit out of him because I wanted to get there. I wanted to get there super early and get to the parking lot and put up my tent and let's do this. And
I think that was the first meetup. I think the first game is when like all that amazing crew from Montreal came down and just put on like a hell of a show and like which like super inspiring, and they basically made the south end of the stands what it was. And I don't think any of us had met up beforehand, and that was kind of seeing them honestly was the main inspiration for me to sort of be like put out like that, like, yeah, hey, let's actually do this. So I think you were actually at the first actual meetup,
right?
Yeah, the first like actual get together before a game. So
yeah,
you were there, man. You didn't miss anything.
Sweet. So you know, when we got there and I saw the organization, I was like, wow, like this is an actual real thing. These guys are super committed. And and you know, we as the season progressed and it got more and more fun for us, obviously the club was doing well, you know, on the field. And we saw what was happening off the field. They had not just concessions, they had gear, man. You could buy legit gear, jerseys. They had hats. They had you know, scarves for summer and winter. There's one right behind me there. You know, they took all of the soccer culture and brought it to Vermont, which is something that, you know, I know Vermont has like a small little, especially Burlington has a small little kind of club scene that has been going on for years, but soccer has never been bigger in the United States than it is right now. And they got in at the exact right time, you know, right after COVID, you know, when we're able to start gathering again. And like I said, the sense of community that came with it was really cool. We had, and to watch it and be part of this group and be able to sing the songs and come up with chants and, you know, our kind of our South Stand group kind of grew and grew and grew every week. And then you saw that the rest of the stands starting to fill in, you know, based on word of mouth. And I can't tell you how many times somebody said, "Oh, I saw you on the news today with your group down there. You guys all had your drums out and you're chanting," and, you know, and that was also helpful too, is that I think that as much as the club helped us get together, we helped the club too, to be able to grow and to show people that what a group of dedicated soccer fans can do that will affect not just the club on the field, but the club as in general. I mean, I think that we helped by word of mouth, people going to games saying, "Hey, there's this group down there and they're crazy and they're fun and they're waving flags and they're beating their drums and they're chanting and they're singing." And, you know, our singing's not the goddamn best, I can tell you that.
We're working on it. We're just getting better.
We tried. I mean, we tried to, you know, we had that preseason meeting at Burlington Beer, who was another, you know, main sponsor of the club. We got to meet Coach Pfeiffer and a bunch of the players. I think that, like, you know, about halfway through the season, I was like, you know what, we got to do a podcast for this. We have a great announcer too. I mean, you know, he sits up there in the booth by himself and he gets the crowd going too. And it's not just us.
Yeah.
You know, Tom did a great job with that. And it was pretty awesome. And we have great photographers on the field that, you know, have become friends with our group. And I think that, you know, their season tickets to the season are they went like crazy. Right. And, you know, if
they're going to be sellouts next season, like on a regular basis, like the last
on a regular basis. So it took till like the end of the season to sell out. Right. The last few games, right before the playoffs, when we were making that push. So I think that like all of us being able to shake hands and create this kind of fervor around the team really really makes this not just fun for us, but fun for families to come, fun for, you know, for the community, people who never really thought maybe they would like soccer. You know, that kind of a thing. And I love being part of that. Right.
And I think you're dead right, man. I think it really is like, it's like this, I was gonna say it's a symbiotic relationship, but it's more than that. Cause it's more than just a two-way thing. It's like a whole ecosystem of what I like love about Burlington and Vermont. You know, you have this club that's recruiting amazing players, amazing coaches, is doing things in a really thoughtful and, intentional way that it is, you know, super commendable. And then we're in the stands and trying to sort of create an environment that makes the players, coaches, and the other people there feel like they're seeing something amazing, that there's like this level of energy. And, you know, the players and coaches feed off of that. We feed off the club. Tom's announcing and, you know, generating a whole other level of both excitement and anxiety for the team as he slowly toes the line of what's acceptable to say as a announcer at a game. Then you have then you have like all the local sponsors and groups that Vermont Green has brought into the mix. And then whether it's Sun Common or Burlington Beer Company or local vendors for food or doing like the, you know, a union night or driving attention and money to certain causes in the area. There's just like this nice interconnectedness. And I think it's, you get that on like a sort of macro level of like the club and the supporters and what's happening, you know, within the stands and on the field and like sort of like the big picture stuff. But like, heck, even within our own supporters group, like there's just like all these nice connections that were made. And you start to realize like how small, you know, the soccer community and by extension, just like our community in general is. And that was like a really nice thing, at least for me, is being like, oh, like we know the same people, our kids go to the same soccer camps, like you work with my wife, like all these things that you would have never possibly discovered had it not been for this, again, like on its surface and in the grand scheme of things, very simple thing, which is like, we all love football and we love going to football games. And, you know, so it's, I think you're dead on. It's just, you know, the club gave us a lot and hopefully we gave, you know, returned the favor and gave back the like sort of like love and energy that they needed and wanted for their first season. And man, I'm excited for the next season.
I know. So that's kind of a good segue. I would like to pivot and maybe ask you guys at this point, like with all of the excitement we had last year and you know, the size of the team that we saw, we got to actually see a lot of even the players, that the younger players that were just coming up, this maybe the guys who were like coming out of high school going, man, maybe I should just try out, see what happens. And we got to see them, you know, play in some of the friendly matches. You know, we had what group was it?
The Elite Eight.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
in the Jupiter, right? So we got to see some of these younger players play, and we got to see our regular first team play throughout the season and how they developed and how they went through their progression in the season. I just want to know, like, who are your, like, I'm going to ask Will this, like, who are your favorite players and why? But on top of that, what was your favorite moment in the season?
Sure. And just to circle back really quickly, you know, you guys are talking about, you know, all these things we're able to grow from this first season. I think, you know, really it comes down to the fact that the club really showed an intention from the start to be fan oriented. You know, we were given, you know, elite merch in the league. I mean, you look at the kits that were designed and you compare it to some others in USL2, and you know, you can walk on the street in a Vermont Green kit and be recognized and be proud of it, and maybe not, you know, disparaging other USL2 teams, feel the same way. But you know, and you know, on that same point, you know, it's this idea that, you know, they were here from the start to give us something tangible. And that goes down to the players as well. Like you said, we had, you know, some Vermont natives. We also had some serious, you know, prospects, you know, for bigger leagues on the team. You know, we had three players, and, you know, talking about favorite players, you know, three players that unfortunately, you know, won't likely be back with us next season because they were actually drafted into the MLS, which is just, you know, such a cool thing to see. You know, first and foremost that comes to my mind is, you know, we had Owen O'Malley, who, you know, on the same note, favorite goal moment of the season when he had that 360 goal, you know, was drafted 9th overall in the MLS draft this year. You know, he's going to St. Louis City. He's an expansion team player. And that's just such a cool thing to see for a club of our size. You know, we also had Ithor Bjørgolfsson, which I know the supporters group really took a shine to. People referring to him as the Vermont Holland. Drafted by Seattle Sounders, which is a major MLS institution to be drafted to. You know, that's huge. We also had a goalkeeper, Nick Kristofferson, who was drafted by, I believe, Toronto City as well. So you see three guys that unfortunately don't look like they're going to be back with us. But, you know, that was the quality they brought to the club in the first season. And, you know, when you look at where we ended up in our first season, you know, competing against, you know, the best teams in the playoffs and, you know, making a run, you know, it didn't end how we wanted, but, you know, that game against Lionsbridge, you know, that has to be the highlight of the season. You know, unfortunately we couldn't see it, you know, because it was down in Virginia, but, you know, the live stream was great. It was a great quality, which is something that you couldn't always depend on in the regular season. So we even got to experience that. And I know, you know, the, Mountain Boys have a chat, and it was going wild the entire game. You know, I think about that, and you know, that was definitely, you know, our playoff game against Lionsbridge, you know, the number one seed. I think they went undefeated, and beating them, you know, it was a great experience. It really was. And so, you know, you see from the start, you know, this club is offering us something serious, and you know, we're already reaping the benefits of playoff runs. And you know, USL2 is great, but you know, I'm looking to see, you know, what we can do next if we continue to grow.
It was, yeah, I think three players going in the MLS draft is just phenomenal for a USL2 team in their first season. And it was an absolute joy to watch those three guys playing, and you know, different, very different styles and personalities, but man, like, just like fixtures. Yeah. And, you know, thinking about other players, like our goalie Nate was just a standout, and it was great to get to see him playing for UVM this past season. I think he's destined for big things. I think Debo was like a personal favorite player of mine. He was just a blast to watch, and I'm fingers crossed that he comes back. I'd love to see him in green again. But yeah, I mean, I think going back to sort of like what the club has done and what we've done and what, you know, the fans have done in general. And I think if you're a player who's in college or thinking about, you know, doing like sort of path to pro type stuff, like if you look at some of the video and photos from this past season and you're trying to decide where you're going to play, and you look at like the turnout, the like level of support, you look at like the, like, you know, this as a graphic designer, I'm super biased, but you look at like the design work for like the badge and the kits and all the merch and all the like everything on social. Like if you have like three or four options and one of them is Vermont Green and you're like thinking about where you want to spend your summer, like, oh my gosh, like why wouldn't you come here? Like you're going to get an amazing summer experience in Burlington, amazing fan support, amazing coaching and staff, like just everything about it. I think is everything about this first season is going to make, I would imagine, make recruiting and retainment for the second season like extremely easy, or much easier at least.
Yeah, and I think we caught a lot of other teams off guard with the size and ferocity of our crowd sometimes, you know.
Especially seeing from like the streams from like the away games that we got to watch sometimes, depending on the the quality of the stream.
I mean, there were some streams where you saw the crowd and it was 8 people, and then you see us at the end of the season, we're putting up close to 5,000. I don't know the exact number. And that's your marketing tool right there. And, you know, there's a power in a crowd, because by the end of the season, we were basically unplayable at home. You know, you play in front of that crowd and you play different at that league. You know, the other team does not expect that, does not expect the crowd to be in their face. I mean, how many right backs did we torture this year? I mean, my God, we got a lot of angry reactions, but you know, that's just so exciting. And that has to be, you know, so exciting for these players who, you know, I can't assume from all their playing backgrounds, but maybe haven't played in front of a crowd like that ever. And, you know, you're exactly right. If this is a development league, and if you're looking to have a great summer and play in front of a G'd up crowd, I mean, we're such a destination for these young players.
I can imagine players from other USL2 teams who came up this past season, saw what was going on here, at least considering the idea of changing allegiances just based on you know, the organization. And
you know, I wouldn't blame the Seacoast guys for staying with Seacoast. Fine. I mean, they have a youth program too that brings all these guys up. Yeah, you're on the ocean. That's perfectly fine.
It is nice. Ocean is nice. Yeah,
it is nice, but you know what? Half those guys, like from Blackwatch, you know, like
or Western Mass Pioneers. That's
yeah,
the
like,
one I think of.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, I want to, you know, do you want to stay in Western Mass? You want to stay in fucking Albany and have your summer in Albany? Or do you want to come to you know, the West Coast of Vermont, man? And play to huge crowds. Like that's really where it's at. And like these kids, like and young men who are coming up to play in this league and want to make something of themselves, they're like you said, when they were pulling into the parking lot, they saw our small little group of like, you know, 15 guys, you know, hanging out, having some drinks, you know, in their parking and we're giving them a little shit, you know, getting off the bus, offering them drinks and food. I'm sure they saw that and went, oh, that's nice. They have a little supporters group. And then when they get in there and they see the crowd and they hear the crowd, I'm sure they're going, man, I wish we had this. Now, obviously Lionsbridge has their thing. Lionsbridge has two separate, you know, supporters groups that don't like each other.
Wait, really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like rival supporters groups at Lionsbridge?
Yeah. So Lionsbridge, really? Apparently they have, and they sit at opposite ends of their little stadium, and they don't like each other. Apparently.
What are they fighting about?
I don't know.
We gotta get to the bottom of this.
Who gets to support the USL 2 team the hardest?
We need the gossip on this one for sure. Yeah.
No. What I really liked, I think my favorite part of the season, for me, I think Debo was probably my favorite player. He was so exciting to watch, but I cannot discount what Sam McCann brought to this, to this team. And guys like Owen O'Malley, and Bilal Kamal, when the chips were down and all the big college players had to go back to their clubs, we had guys like Deba and we had guys like Sam holding it down, man. They didn't get a lot of playing time early in the season. But once those guys had to leave and go back to school, get back to their teams and get back for preseason training and that kind of stuff, like these guys filled in, and they filled in like monsters, and they took the opportunity they were given and ran with it. And yeah. For me, Sam suffering that injury, and what, he collapsed lung, right?
It was like a punctured lung from a
punctured lung. Yeah.
He
had a pneumothorax. A pneumothorax, went to the hospital and came back, and he shows up the next week to play. That's outrageous, dude. And, you know, what I loved about Sam too, is that like when we're in the parking lot and he's showing up, you know, he's driving in his car, he sees us, he makes it a point to come say hi. Right. He does that kind of thing for the fans. Right. And that's what makes like this thing that we have with these young kids who are out there just trying to do it. Like it makes it worth us going there as like old men, you know, supporting a young man's game. I think it makes it all worth it for everybody involved. And I really hope that Sam comes back this year.
To follow up on that, like I think, you know, we're all like Premier League fans here, and I feel like a lot of people who go to Vermont Green games have their own respective pro teams that they follow, whether it's MLS or Premier League or La Liga or whatever. I really do think that for us and for those of us who have kids, and for the players who are on the team, that sort of like closeness where like after the game, you just go out and you talk to the players, you talk to the coaches, like, I mean, watching like all these young kids, like ask for autographs and photos with these players and the players being so excited and obliging, and you know, like Sam hanging out with us in the parking lot, like Connor coming out, like all these Connor, from yeah. like the founders all the way down to the players to the, like, everybody is very approachable, and that closeness and that ability to interact with actual people is something that's like sorely missing from pro sports. And I think for me, that was like a major appeal. I love watching Liverpool games. Like even if I make it to Anfield, it's not going to be the same experience as being able to go and like high five the players after the game and talk to the coaches and run into people like in the city who you're like, oh, it's, you know, the starting center back is like walking by me in City Market, you know, like that's like, you don't have that sort of like really close community feeling. And that's, I think, one of the many things that makes this club and this past summer so special.
Yeah. I honestly think, with, like you said, with our kids and that kind of stuff, my son, he's 10 years old, you know, and I brought him to that first event at Burlington Beer with me, and he got to meet Bilal, and who kind of like Bilal got like right down on a knee, eye to eye with him, talked to him, asked him what position he played. You know, he got to actually speak to, and Bilal like didn't just come out of nowhere. He wasn't necessarily here to play, you know, big time college ball or whatever. Well, he was at UNH, right? But he had been in, you know, the Norwich City system since he was like 9-10 years old. And he knelt down, talked to my son like he was like a buddy, and like, oh, I just want to get to know you type of a thing. Sam McCannley came right over, and this is before we even knew Sam. He came right over wearing his goofy friggin' overalls with the one strap. I have a funny picture. Sam, he looks like an early 1990s hip hopper. But he came over and he asked my son for a picture, which was really funny. While Bilal and Lucas were talking, and then of course, Lucas, we were walking out, and probably the most genuinely nice guy that I met on that club, Riley Urey, you know, a Vermonter,
super nice guy.
Yeah, he approached Lucas and he said, "Hey, I remember you from camp. You remember me? I was one of your coaches." And like, they got to talking, and like the fact that like these guys take their time, like you said, to engage with the community, engage with the fans, engage with the kids, I think is just, it's immeasurable, because we don't get that experience. You know, we don't have those professional teams where we get that experience. My son getting to go on the field, and, you know, I have a great picture of him and Diva, like after that final game where they made the playoffs and everybody rushed the field, and we had the drums and we had the smoke bombs going off, and, you know, we all got out on the field, and my son got all the autographs, and I have a great picture of Diva signing his autograph for him, and just like him just kind of looking, going, this is, I can do this, you know?
It's amazing. And, you know, I had some experience, like my older son had Riley as a soccer coach a couple of years ago. And then this past summer had, I think with your kids too, Mike, like had Nate and Daniel were coaches for the yep. soccer camps they went to. And it's all these like really nice connections. And again, yeah, something you don't get with like major pro teams. And like one of the things I started thinking about a lot after I heard the term, I guess it was a couple of months ago, was there's some article I read about like the concept of like third spaces. And so like you have like home, traditionally you have like home and work, and less and less common is to have like this third space, which is like some sort of public space, whether it's like, you know, a cafe in the middle of town, or like the, you know, the general store, or like a park where people get together. Like those spaces are more and more rare and difficult to access, for at least in America. I think it's maybe less so in Europe, but like certainly in the US, like you don't have these sort of communal meeting spaces. And thinking back about this first season, I was like, that's what for a lot of people, I think Vermont Green games was like this third space where you like go out, you meet with people, you talk to people. These aren't people you work with. This isn't family. These are just people who you're sharing the space with, who you really enjoy their company. You have this like shared event, this communal moment, and you have a good time, and then you go home. And that's hard to create organically and in a really like exciting and healthy way. And I think by the end of the summer, I was like, oh yeah, I can't wait till Saturday or Sunday, because I get to see all these people who I like really love hanging out with, and get to have this like really awesome positive experience, and the kids have a good experience. And like I give a lot of credit to the club for, I think, pretty intentionally creating that sort of atmosphere and that sort of space for people to get together and scream and yell and be excited and happy and cheer and share this like experience, because that's hard to do. And I think, you know, I'm a big fan of the sport, but I think football is like exceptionally good at doing that, more so than other sports. Like people go to baseball games, people go to American football games, you know, like I'm a fan of those sports as well. But like, I think we'd all in this group admit that, or be proponents for the fact that soccer culture is different than any other sporting culture.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. And also the local community aspect. I mean, this is an affordable pastime if you're not using all three drink tickets, you know, to go to these Vermont Green games. So, I mean, I'm sure all of us use all three drink tickets. So, but, you know, you're right. I mean, it's just such a good, if you will, third space, you know, and I can't wait for the season to start. So I guess, you know, while we're reaching the end of it tonight, I mean, what are your guys' expectations for this season? I mean, I know we all want to make a deep playoff run, but is there, you know, anything you're hoping to see other than just continuing the progress in season two?
For me, honestly, I want to go in that, and I expect this every single season now, you know, knowing what this league is about, but I want to go in every single season feeling the same way I did at the beginning of the first season. And good, bad, or indifferent at the end of the season, I still want to feel the same way about my club. Like, you know, I have a lot of friends in England now, you know, from my other podcasts, and just the sense of community and the sense of feeling that they have for their club and love that they have for even their local club, not just the big club that they support, whether it be their fucking Sunday league team or they're just small local club, the love that they have, I want to feel that at the end of this season, no matter we finished top of the table, bottom of the table, middle of the table, whatever. I want to be able to just have that same experience every season. And we are kind of afforded that with the USL2, with the way that it's structured and that the fact that it's a pre-professional league and you can lose players and gain players. And it's like a recycling of the lineup every single year. You never know what you're going to get, right? And you may form attachments to players that will inform your decisions on who you might support professionally when they get to that level, if they do, right? You know, and my friend Brian, who's on my other podcast often, he's getting that same kind of situation with Rhode Island FC, who just joined the USL Championship.
Yeah.
And he's getting that same type of a thing. And I said, do yourself a favor, find somebody who wants to start, you know, a supporters group. Because that's how you guys are going to grow your club. You know, I mean, I know it's not going to be that tough in Providence. They have a huge Portuguese population who are, you know, these folks are thoroughly invested in soccer and football. But you know, that's the way to do it. I just want to feel that feeling. I want to feel that team just grow and grow and grow. And, you know, like I said, I'm a middle-aged guy with two kids. I'm not fooling anybody. I'm out there to have a good time. I'm out there to, you know, kind of be a kid again.
Yep.
So what I'm looking forward to is just new players, same experiences and new friends, growing our supporters group, growing our club, that kind of a thing.
Yeah. I think for, you know, this past season, we were winging it. We really were, like, in terms of like, do we have supporters group? Oh, we do. How do we do this? Like, how do we actually like organize people? Is this like we're figuring out as we went, which I think is a totally valid approach. What I'm excited for this next season is just building off of that and bringing more people into the folds, being more organized when it comes to like how we do things, bigger banners, bigger pyro shows, just building off of the excitement that we sort of laid the foundation for this first season. And yeah, I'm a huge fan of this band called The Hold Steady. They're, speaking of dad stuff, is a quintessential dad rock band. There's like, yeah, if you start playing The Hold Steady in any urban or suburban area, a bunch of dads will be like, yeah, man, that's good. Thanks for doing that. But like their whole jam is just like, this sort of like, they have a couple of songs, and one is like, you got to start with a positive jam, stay positive, and we're going to build something this summer. And all these things are kind of like rattle around in my brain's like, what can we do to make every game this like really positive, you know, at times outrageous experience for the fans and for our home players? What can we do to like bring people together? What can we do to connect with the community? And I think we did a pretty solid job this first season. And going to the second season, we know each other, we know that it works, and it's just sort of thinking about how we make it bigger and better and keep things going.
Yeah, because I think we all want to see the club grow out of USL2, but I also think that there's a degree of patience needed, you know, for that to happen as the club grows commercially, because like we talked about earlier, so many things have already fallen into place here. You know, we have an active, close supporters group that will continue to grow. We have, you know, merch to be proud of. We have the marketing, we have social consciousness. And so now we need to continue that outreach, both the club and the supporters group, and, you know, see where it takes us. But I don't think that it's going to be too tough of a wait while we keep having as much fun as we're having. I really think is the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, if I've learned anything, you know, from this first season, is that it really is the power of community and the power of football and the power of alcohol to bring people together and make you have a really, really fun summer. You know, I can't wait to see what's on the horizon for this club. And, you know, I know we got the roster dropping for the season soon, so I know we're all excited to get our hands on that, see who's coming back, see who's new, you know, look into these players and, you know,
when does that drop?
Discussions on that.
So I have it on some good authority that, that, you know, it should be later this month, maybe in so later this month is the, you know, it is the end of the month. So in a week or two, I would say probably.
So for returning players or for new players as well?
They're building their rosters out right now, so they're close from what I hear. Okay. They're very close on. They had their tryout a couple of weeks ago. Tough time to have a tryout. I mean, it's cold.
It's cold, man.
Yeah. And the folks at Vivid Coffee went down there and tried to support and give the tryout folks some. I'm sure they brought folks in. They've already probably signed some players from college teams that didn't have to try out, but there are the local folks and the younger kids who came to try out and work and probably worked really hard that those couple of days. I did go there. I was on call that weekend, so I was right at the hospital. So I actually got to go there and drove my car right up to the hill there. So I watched a little bit of it, and it was cold that day, man.
I remember being really cold. Yeah, I was like, yeah.
That said, I think we have some things to look forward to. The club growing is the big thing. And it just kind of, I know we're coming up on time here, so let's, I'll just do some closing thoughts here, but Coach Pfeiffer's back. Coach Davis is back, and I give a special mention to Stage. He's my son's U12 coach. He has done wonders with our little team there in Orange, and he has done wonders with the Vermont Green. Stage is a fantastic coach. He, you know, he grew up in Vermont, and hopefully there are a lot more great things for him on the horizon too, maybe with this club. That said, I think we're going to be very competitive this year. My sources tell me that we do have some players returning that we're going to be happy about. None of the division has changed. So we didn't add any new teams. We didn't subtract any teams. The only thing that changed is that like Blackwash changed to like Albany FC or some shit. Outside of that, I guess there's going to be food trucks this year. So we might change our philosophy on vending, on food vending, and that kind of stuff. I'm sure we'll still have the alcohol that we all love to consume at these games and have fun with. We'll still have the same, you know, atmosphere. Hopefully, the the boys, the Bahoys. I know that El Guero likes to call them the Bahoys. I'm hoping we'll still have our section roped off for us. We'll be putting flags out. We'll be waving our flags. The Blackbeard flag will be waving, hopefully at the end of every single game. And hopefully make it into the playoffs, and we get to that point where we're the ones going, we shouldn't be beat. Maybe that, you know, at some point the USL too has to recognize the fan interaction, and we'll have to recognize us as a potential place for some playoff matchups. That's what I'm looking forward to. And I'm looking forward to just having a great time with my family and all of my new friends that I've met through Vermont Green. You know, and especially, I actually got to meet like a lot of really cool people. We got introduced to some of the Cosmos Ultras, some of the old Impact Ultras. You know, they taught us how to chant, right? So it's going to be a fun season. And as far as United and Green goes, we're going to be doing this hopefully once a month, maybe twice if we have to, if we get a
news good dependent guest on. Yeah, news dependent. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And until the season starts, and then we'll be doing it weekly to recap games and such.
Yeah, and Mike's really said it better than I could, but you know, there's a lot of fun things coming up this season. And I think that, you know, for us as United and Green, I think we have some fun things in the pipeline. So I'd say stay tuned to this channel, and you know, hopefully we'll see you guys at the games. You know, come talk to us. We're more than happy to, you know, meet new people, make new friends. And frankly, if you're listening to this, you probably already know us at this point. So, but let's change that. So Tyler, where can people find you?
We have a pretty regularly updated Twitter presence. It's Green MT Boys, BHOYS, just Green Mountain Boys if you search on Twitter, and on Instagram. I'm pleased to announce that I'm actually working on a gosh darn website for our group, so we can actually have a centralized place for merch and information and scheduling and all that sort of stuff. So doing a lot of groundwork for the next season. You know, I'll just say big dreams for this next season, to cap things off, at least one or two away days for the crew. And just big meeting new friends, making this group bigger, better, bringing in more people. So yeah, come say hello.
Awesome. And you can find us on Instagram at I think we are United and Green Pod on Instagram. Myself, I'm Songbeard on Twitter and on Instagram. That's SNG Beard. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a little Facebook, and eventually we'll have a Twitter. We'll have a Twitter account when I can figure out how to use Twitter properly. I'm not that generation. I'm the old generation, so I still use Facebook for things. I know Will's probably the younger of the three of us here right now. So
yeah, definitely looking to take over that Twitter. I mean, if you really need to find me on Twitter myself, it's Willie G at VT_Gooner. And that's my plug. Go Arsenal. Really looking forward to the season and you know, talking to you guys in the future.
Excellent. Just to sign off now, I'm gonna say come on you Green.
Come on you Green.
That's